favorite passages is here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, an event that we talk about or not talked about in many of our churches and yet needs to be, and that is of the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the definition is in the Bible. And it's found in this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In that verse 17, the phrase shall be caught up is a definition of the word rapture that we use in speaking about the event when Jesus shall come. The word rapture is used in talking about this event, which is the next major event that's going to happen. Now, there are other events that the Bible talks about, but especially when we think about the coming of our Lord and Savior. Sadly to say, in many of our churches today, the word rapture and second coming are used together as if they're the same event, and they're not. They're two separate events that happen. And as I look at that, I'm excited about the fact of the rapture where I'll be able to see my Lord and Savior. Now, also, I know that I'm going to see my loved ones, and I'm going to see them in their resurrected body. I'll either be in my resurrected body or my transfigured body, and I can't even begin to imagine how wonderful, how exciting that's going to be, and to have no limitations whatsoever physically. Man, what a victory we have through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And at the rapture, there's so much to be thought about, and I get excited about that and like to preach on it in dealing with it from the viewpoint of a child of God. But God spoke to my heart and wanted me to talk to you tonight and to bring the word to you about the rapture from the viewpoint of a lost person. It's a whole different story that is there. We get caught up in the excitement, the thrill, and all of the events that's going to happen, not only at the time of the rapture, but following the rapture, and what's going on with that. And we don't stop to think about the lost. And how will they see the rapture? Now, you've got to understand, and if you keep your finger there in Thessalonians and turn over to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible talks about the second coming of Christ, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the second coming of Christ is where Jesus comes all the way back to this earth. At the rapture, he comes in the air. At the second coming of Christ, he comes in the clouds. Look at it now in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible tells us, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. This second coming of Christ is not going to be a glorious event as most of our songs try to portray it. It's going to be a time for the world of great fear. They know that Jesus is not coming back, and realizing that as he comes back to this earth, he's not coming back as a babe in Bethlehem. He's not coming back to be mocked. He's not coming back with grace. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus did not come the first time to judge us. He came to save us. He's coming the second time to judge. And brethren, that's not going to be a good time at all for the lost. Now, we're excited about it because of our viewpoint. Man, the second coming of Christ is going to be great for me. I'm looking forward to being with Peter and John and with Ezekiel and Daniel and Moses and all of them. We'll live with them for 1,000 years on this earth in our resurrected body. Now, that's a tremendous time. But at that coming of the second coming, he comes in the clouds. Every eye sees him. They're fully aware of it. At the rapture, that's not so. At the rapture, no one knows of that day or hour. Look at Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. There are a number of places in the Bible that talks about the coming of Jesus for the church, the coming of Jesus to take us to the marriage ceremony. Man, what a glorious time that's going to be. At the rapture, the coming of it in Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, talking about that, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, there are a lot of reasons for that, but what I want you to see tonight is that the rapture is going to be sudden. You do not know about the time people think everything is just right, then it happens. The time you think it's not going to happen is probably when it will happen, and so on. No one knows of that time. So for the lost, now for Christians, we want to know. I mean, I'd like to know if he's coming at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or when it is. But he says, no, you be ready for him to come right now. And I am. And I pray that you are. But we don't know that. The lost don't care. In the first place, they don't want to know. They don't want you to talk about it. Will it make any difference? Well, let's think about that now, of the rapture. No one knows of the day or the hour. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible talks about that moment of the rapture. Jesus does not come and every eye sees him. He comes as a thief in the night. And we'll look at that scripture in a few moments on that. But right now, I want you to notice in this, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We, talking about the same, shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And I wish we had time to get into that, but let's just file that away. To go through that process of we'll be raised, we'll be changed, we'll not have to have a funeral, we'll not have to go through that process of having a heart attack or anything else or being shot or killed. We'll be changed instantly. Now, let me read that verse 51 again. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The rapture will happen quicker than you can blink your eye. At the second coming of Christ, they will know that he's coming, and we're coming with him in the clouds. We'll be on horses. The radars all over the world. Well, the alarms will go off and they have a blimp up there on their radar showing a mass coming. And as they examine it first, it's not a meter, it's not something, it's people, it's us with Jesus. Everybody knows that. Everybody sees that. At the rapture, you won't even see a blimp on the radar. It happens so quick that it will not register on the best radars we have in this world today or will ever have. You'll not look up and see anything in the skies. And it happens all over the world at the same time. It doesn't begin in Texas and then moves up towards Oklahoma and goes on north, or starts here and goes across to Europe and then different countries around the world as the world turned. No, everybody all over the world at that very moment, this rapture will happen and affect everybody at the same time. Now, it might be 8 o'clock here, but it'll be in the morning, and it could be 11 o'clock in China, but it's going to be at the same time. See, it's not going to wait till 8 o'clock there. It will all be at the same time. So this is something that's going to happen instantly, no warning. No one knows of the day or the time. The lost, all of a sudden, something happens that they cannot understand. Something happens all over the world that just blows their mind. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Talking about what we just read in chapter 4 and then in chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they, the lost, shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There'll not be any singing in the street. The king is coming. That's not going to happen at the rapture. It's going to happen so quick, and it'll be over with quicker than you can blink your eye. He comes as a thief in the night. It's specially designed where you do not know when it will happen, and you'll not know that it has happened until it's over with. It's all finished and done. We know and we see the details of that. If we just read how that the dead in Christ will be raised first, we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How long will we be in the clouds? How long will we meet the Lord? It's just going to be very short, quicker than you can blink your eye. As soon as we gather in the clouds and there we see the Lord in the air, he has a job for us to do that only we can do. No one else can do it. We're the only ones that can overcome Satan with the blood of Jesus. And we cast Satan out of the air, limits him to the earth, and he is mad. And you talk about sudden destruction. He is bringing his wrath upon this earth, and it begins instantly at the rapture. And not only his wrath, but you have God's wrath being poured out at that time on the earth. Now look at it from the viewpoint of a lost person. All of a sudden, they realize graves are being opened. Not by man, not by an earthquake, but individual graves scattered throughout a cemetery, in every village, in nations around the world. And some of these countries that are ungodly and that refuse to acknowledge God, in the past, in the yesteryears of time, there have been God's people there. There have been people who have been saved and buried, whether in secret or public, we don't know, but their bodies are there. Those graves will be open. Not all the graves will be open. Put yourself in that lost person's place. What in the world is going on? Why are these graves open and those are not? Now that's going to get a little scary. If they have time to dwell on it, it's really going to blow their mind as to what's going on. What opened those graves? Why are those tombs open? Why is the ground open? They're opened. There are no bodies there. There's no bones there. They don't know why. It just happened, and it happened instantly. It's not something that gradually went through the earth at a time. All over, and with today, we have instant communication. When anything happens in any part of the world, the rest of the world can know it instantly at that time because of the modern communications that we have. The news work, televisions, and all of that will begin to buzz about the fact a mystery has happened, an event we cannot explain. Graves will be opened. You and I understand that, but a lost person will not. That's going to be scary. Not only will that happen, but people will disappear. Now, because of the resurrection of Christ, when Peter and John got there at the tomb, they found Jesus' grave clothes laying in the tomb. What we wear are our grave clothes. We wear this because we sinned before God from the beginning with Adam and Eve and on down through the years. These clothes will be left. We're not going to take them with us, so don't worry about whether you got your best clothes on or not, or your favorite clothes or your comfortable clothes. It won't matter. Whatever you have on will be left, and you will receive and when you're resurrected clothes, just as Jesus did when he came out of the tomb. And when he appeared to Mary at the tomb and to the others, he appeared in his resurrected clothes that could appear or disappear with him. Man, that's going to be a glorious thing. And have that now. But, see, I always want to think about it from my viewpoint. But now, a lost person, here they are talking to their friend, and all of a sudden, I mean, they blink their eyes, the next thing you know, there's a pile of clothes. What would you do? How would you feel about that? You might be holding hands with your husband or with your wife, and then the next thing you know, they're not there. I sort of experienced that a little bit. I've shared with you before in that, but when Jackie and I, before we had the cell phones, we'd try to shop together in the shopping mall. And I'd be going along, and I'm interested in looking down the way and not paying much attention to her, and she goes off into a shoe store or clothing store, and all of a sudden, she's just gone. Where is she? I kid her today now at home. I, back in my office, go out to look for her, and I can't find her. She's still in the house. I mean, she's just quietly here or there or somewhere else. I wonder where in the world she is. At the rapture, their loved ones will literally not just step out of the way, will disappear, and all you see is a pile of clothes where they were. Now, that's going to be scary. Children that have been picked up by bus ministries of churches that came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior will disappear. Their mothers and dads that not taken much care of them but still yet has a love for them and concerned about them will all of a sudden realize their children are gone. And not only are they gone, but their clothes they were wearing is laying in a particular spot, either in the yard or on the stairs or in a chair or in the middle of a room. And they're going to search for their children, and they're gone. No one can find their children. The fear of what happened to their child. Did someone kidnap it? Did something happen to them? Did some acid fall on them and all of a sudden their body just disappeared? What in the world happened? It's going to be a terrible, scary moment. Then you've got children who was raised in a nice home. Parents love them and take care of them. And they'll send them to church. But they don't go. They want to make sure their children are in church. And at the time of the rapture, their children disappear. Can you imagine the fear that grips the heart of a lost person in seeing not only their wife or their husband, but their children are gone? And then you hear the news. People of all ages disappearing. No longer there. There was silence. In a meeting, all of a sudden, there was silence. Just a pile of clothes. They're not there. You'll find those in government positions. Yes, there are some Christians there. They might not be behaving properly now, but I'll grant you one thing. They'll disappear. The same thing in churches. People in all kinds of positions. Now today, I could see it in the yesteryears of time when you was horseback riding and you might be on a horse and going home and you'd disappear. Well, that horse would find its way home without you. But think about being in an automobile, and I've done this and do it, and I'll probably do it tomorrow. If I get on a highway, I'll set my cruise control for the speed limit, and it goes down on its own. When I disappear, then what's going to happen to that automobile? How far will it go until the road turns? Or if the car is not in proper shape, if it's out of alignment, it'll go off the road fairly quick. Of all the things that might happen, from all the cars of God's people all around this world, but will be without a driver. Airplanes, you have automatic pilots on those things. But after a while, it runs out of gas. When the pilot disappears and no one else is there, what's going to happen? People operating different types of machinery and going on. Look at it from the lost viewpoint. What in the world is going on? Why are these people disappearing? It's going to be a frightening time, a very scary time. It's going to be a very dangerous time at the time of the rapture. Governments are going to be upset with other governments, thinking they have kidnapped their officials when they hadn't had a thing to do with it. They'll say, well, ours are missing too. You've gotten ours. No, the rapture happened. People disappeared. Instantly, in a moment, taken out. Then, notice this now. Look at it again in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Why couldn't he use some other words beside a thief? Well, that describes what's happening. Jesus is taking his people out. The world thinks they've got us, but he just snatches them right under from underneath. He comes and he doesn't let anybody know that he's there. And most time when you've been robbed, you don't know anything until after it's over with. And you know for one thing, the thief will not announce that he's going to rob you. God's not going to announce. There's not going to be a trumpet blown where people can hear it. During the time of the rapture, though a trumpet is blown, it's not for the ears of this world. It's to call the army of God, and only the ears of those that are redeemed will hear that trumpet call that we might gather to cast Satan out. He comes as a thief in the night. Then verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. You get that? Sudden, not gradually, sudden, all of a sudden, without realizing what's going on, without any announcement, we're about to have a tornado. The tornado sirens are going, no. The tornado will happen without any warning whatsoever. Earthquakes will happen without any warning whatsoever. Sudden destruction. When you read chapter 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation, you'll see some of the destruction that will happen at the time and following the rapture. You'll have a person appear on the scene declaring that he's the Son of God, the Antichrist. And then instead of peace, you'll have war. I mean all kinds of wars. Not major wars between other nations, but wars within your own area, within your families, wars within the churches, wars within the communities. People will want to kill one another. There'll be famine and death. It'll be a terrible time of destruction. Not only that, you'll find a third of the trees of all the world will be burned up, and all the green grass will burn up before you can turn around. when they think everything is just fine and we're about to get to what we want to have, destruction hits. This is at the rapture. This is what the lost person is seeing. As you see, the graves are open. You've seen people disappear. Now, all of a sudden, the trees are on fire. All the green grass is burning. A third of the sea life is destroyed. A third of the waters become bitter and people die from it. A third of the day and night disappears and the earth spins faster. Instead of a 24-hour day, they'll have a 16-hour day. They can't even begin to imagine what's happening. All of a sudden, destruction begins to come. And then you have a third of mankind literally wiped out, destroyed by an army that they've never even seen or heard of or could even imagine. You have an army that comes out that's scary, and just to look at the ones who are in it would scare you to death, and they're going to torture the people for 5 months, and they'll want to commit suicide and not be able to do so. Sudden destruction. This begins at the rapture, and then you'll find the great sores upon people. You'll find that there'll be the seas will turn to dead men's blood, stink, deadly. You'll find that the rivers and the fresh waters will become bloody. You'll find the great heat. We think it gets hot here sometimes. We haven't even begun to experience the heat that's going to happen. And then you'll have the darkness. You'll have hailstones weighing 125 pounds each. This is what will begin with the rapture. Sudden destruction. This is what the lost are going to go through. Oh, we know and we do find the Bible teaches us that, yes, there'll be some who've never heard the gospel before the rapture, who've never heard the true story. They've heard counterfeits, and they've heard other versions, but not the true story. Some of them will turn to God and find salvation and be beheaded. And so we kind of think about that and said, okay, if my loved one, if the rapture happens now, maybe they'll be the one who they'll happen to. I wouldn't count on that for anything in the world. We get caught up in the beauty that we see, the glory, the power, the awe of seeing Jesus, not as a lowly shepherd, not as a babe in Bethlehem, not as one who's walking the streets and being spit upon and mocked, but as the Almighty. Oh, what a tremendous thing that is. But we need to also see the condition of the lost. What's going to happen to our friends, to our children, to our husbands and wives, to those in our family that are not saved? And when the rapture happens, you can't say, wait, Lord, I need to talk to him one more time. It's over with. It's done. They are facing a part of their life that they never dreamed of or could ever imagine. That's a nightmare of all nightmares that will come. The Bible tells us this is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not after the rapture. Right now is the time. Whether we're doing it right or wrong or how we're going at it in ways that some of us don't understand, but one thing is happening that I am proud of. There is a reminder and a call for our church to repent and get right with God. There is a call, as feeble as it might be or however it might be, for us to have a revival and pray God that we will have a revival and that lost souls will be saved if the rapture doesn't happen before then. But you see, to be honest with you, tonight sitting there in that pew, singing these old in my hymns, a revival began to stir in my heart. I felt a fresh wind blowing my way of loving my Lord of giving him honor and praise that's due to him and all dignity that goes to the Almighty. And then to have his word broken to us. Right now, a revival can break out in your heart, and I pray that it will. We need it now because the time is short. Jesus is coming. And he's coming as a thief in the night. No one will know about it except us. You're going to be surprised. You're going to be shocked. You might be driving down the road. You might be walking. You might be cooking. You might be doing something else. And all of a sudden, you're standing on a cloud. You ever stood on a cloud before? And if you don't remember what God is doing, you'll be scared. And then you're going to see people you thought you'd never see. You're going to see your loved ones that were saved and going home to be with the Lord. You'll recognize them. Oh, the joy, the excitement, the thrill. And it will be exciting and a surprise to many of God's children. It shouldn't be to you. But the lost, all hope is gone. They don't die instantly. They will suffer mentally, physically for 7 long years or until they do die during that tribulation period. In agony, in pain, in the area of hopelessness, no hope at all. What a horrible time. And then when they do die, they will be in the eternal fires of hell. And not a one of them should be there and won't be there if we do what God wants us to do now. When the saved get right, the lost get saved. You pray that he would be made right with that in Psalms 51 again. David prayed that he would be made right with God again. Have a clean spirit, a clean heart, a right attitude, the joy of God's salvation. And when that would happen, he said, then I'll teach transgressors their ways and sinners shall be converted unto them. That's what a revival is about. That we would get right and the lost would get saved. And when we see the rapture from a lost person's viewpoint, brethren, we better get right. Though we know everything will be all right with us, it's not going to be all right with them. And that's not going to be like 1 out of 100 might have a heart attack or have an accident or be killed here or there. Everybody, everyone, everywhere on this earth will be affected by the rapture at the same time. And there'll not be anything we can do about it then. What we can do is now. This altar needs to be filled with us praying for the lost. Getting our hearts right with God. Not writing it in a sand that you can erase, but laying it before the Almighty that can be removed and washed by the blood of the Lamb. A word that we can be made right by God's power, not by ours, so that the glory of God can shine through and touch the lives of others. It begins with you and with me. God's not going to force us. It's your decision. May we stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.